Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Bungalows, an Irish tradition and a quintessential part of the rural landscape, or an unsuitable, unsightly form of housing which should be discouraged in favour of homes close to cities, towns and villages. These are some of the questions that the government will consider as it finalises the latest revision of the National Planning Framework, which determines how Ireland will develop over the coming decades. And here to discuss this, and in particular whether we need to curb those one-off housing developments, are Frank MacDonald, journalist and author, and Michael Fitzmaurice, independent TD for Roscommon Galway. You're both welcome to the studio. Thank you for coming in. Now, Frank, I want to come to you first because you've been writing all about this. You think the government's attitude to one-off housing is going to very negatively affect how Ireland develops in the coming decades. Is that fair to say?
Well,
and why?
I do,
why?
I think that first of all, it needs to be said that the National Planning Framework is one of the most important things that is going on at the moment. And it's going on largely under the radar, it has to be said. And yet this is what is going to determine where people are going to live, how they're going to be provided for in terms of schools, housing, jobs, leisure, social facilities and all the rest of it. And, you know, the current revision is happening also against the backdrop of a huge population boom, where the population of this country has gone up by 98,700 in the last year alone.
And massive demands for housing.
Massive demands,
absolutely,
and a huge shortfall of housing. So, you know, the issue then becomes, where is this housing built? And in the original National Planning Framework, which was adopted in 2018, you know, that envisaged a program of compact growth. In other words, we weren't going to have sprawl all over the place. We were going to try and make things more compact, that people would be able to get around without having to use cars and so on. But there was a huge contradiction at the heart of it, really, because while the plan envisaged, you know, dense clusters of you know, housing, apartments in Dublin and other cities, it did nothing to restrict the phenomenon of one-off houses in the countryside, because the plan had been so-called rural-proofed, as Michael Ring crowed at the time, and he represents Mayo. And the original draft had specified that anyone seeking permission for a new house in a rural area within the commuter belt of a city or major town would have to show a demonstrable economic need to live there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, being involved in farming or whatever.
Tough rule.
It would have been a tough rule. But the final version loosened this considerably by changing it to demonstrable economic or social need. And that really could mean anything. It could mean that
I like leaves and birds.
Yeah, or I like leaves and birds, or I need to live near my granny or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, what really has happened is that, you know, one-off houses in the countryside, in 2021 alone accounted for 45% of all of the new houses approved anywhere in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with them, Frank?
Well, what's wrong with it is that it's essentially a car-dependent form of development. And what that means is that, you know, you can't live in the countryside unless you have a car. And that has a knock-on effect too, in terms of your kids and all. They have to be driven everywhere because it's not possible to walk or cycle on any country road where there's a lot of housing being built, because the roads are too narrow. There's no footpaths or anything else like that. And also there's huge additional costs imposed on the society at large by the proliferation of one-off housing.
For the water, for the utilities.
You have to lay on water, you have to provide electricity. The government announced a rural broadband programme in 2018 or 2019, and that was going to cost $3 billion. Now, I know that there are other ways of serving rural areas with, you know, 4G and 5G, mm-hmm, and all the rest of it. But the point about it is, you know, all of these houses also have septic tanks. So, you know, septic tanks need to be maintained. A lot of tanks are simply not being maintained, mm-hmm. and that is polluting groundwater and so on.
Well, let's hear from Michael Fitzmaurice. This just isn't a sustainable way to meet our housing needs. You've heard Frank outline it all, and we love them in this country. Like 45% of all housing developments in 2021 were one-off houses.
It's very easy to use 1 year, Claire. With due respect, I think if you remember back, COVID was on. If you look at the number of houses built in one-off housing right throughout the years, it works between 5 to 6,800 per year. That's what it works at. 32,000 houses built last year, 5,500 to 6,000 of those were one-off housing. That's the facts. Let's not just pick 1 year. Let's look at every year. Let's go back to a few things that Frank has said. Thankfully, 20 or 30 or 50 years ago, I think we managed to get electricity to every part of Ireland. So
the Black Valley in Kerry was
correct,
the last one.
Correct. So in actual fact, if you put up a housing estate, you have to start putting in basically substations when you go building them. At the moment, if you put up a house in rural Ireland, they can just connect you. Second of all, through great people in rural Ireland that brought group water schemes, Irish Water have some of them as well, and people have their own wells. Let nobody say that there's an extra cost for water. In actual fact, the person that connects is paying up on 2,000 or 2,500. The third thing is broadband. A decision was being made, and I support it fully, by government that we would take broadband to every part of Ireland. Why was that? Why was that decision made? Because at the moment, youngsters cannot afford a house in the cities. The people that lived in the cities originally are being driven to other countries, unfortunately. And we decided that we were going to bring broadband around the country, or the state did, and I know it's costing whatever, 2 or 3 billion. But in actual fact, look at the new work practices that's going on. A lot of people now work from home 3 days a week. They're not actually taking out a car, and they're able to go, they may go into the office 2 days a week. On top of that, we don't look for streetlights, we don't look for footpaths, and anybody that knows rural Ireland or lives in rural Ireland like I do knows that the schools are there, the creches are built. Just think, if we drive everyone towards the smaller towns or the larger towns, how much more infrastructure will we have to put in at a time that we're not able to cope with what we need to do? Mm-hmm. Have a look at Irish Water this minute. Irish Water, the subcontractors that's working for them, we need more sewerage in all smaller towns and all cities. I agree 100% with that. Irish Water, the subcontractors, have 300 people laid off because the costs have gone up 30%. And they haven't any budget. So how are we going to square the circle of building more houses when we're not able to put in the sewage treatment mm-hmm. plans? And on top of that, I want to correct one other thing. In all new houses built in rural Ireland at the moment, you have no chimney. You have air to water the same, actually better, because in a lot of the cities they're using gas. Air to water is used now in all the houses. And on top of that, those houses are built to the best spec.
Yeah, I've just had a look at this Irish Government Economic Evaluation Service, right? They put together a report for the Department of Public Expenditure, Michael, and they've been looking at subsidies available to people who are building their houses. And they're saying that you really need to look at these financial supports available to one-off houses, because they tend to be much bigger than those in multi-unit developments. Now, they're probably right on that, aren't they?
I think they're probably very wrong. I'm giving you the facts of building a house.
They're big, but they're getting the same level of subvention from government.
What subvention are they getting?
So are they costing taxpayers more, to come back to Frank's point?
Absolutely not, in my opinion. Actually, less. First of all, they're supplying their own site. If you go for an affordable house, the state is supplying it. If you go for a social house, the state is supplying it. You're supplying your own site. You're getting your own contractors in. You are not getting, you pay for electricity to put in, mm-hmm. you pay for water to be put in, you put your own sewage treatment plant, which costs phenomenal money when you put in roads and sewers in a housing estate. And in my opinion, these people are doing the state a service. And if you look at it, it's not everyone that can build in rural Ireland. Let's look at it. When you talk about social, and we'd be familiar with planning, you have to show that you came from that area. And in the social side of it, the most thing I see on the planning side of it, somebody might have elderly parents, they could be in bad health. they would come and help those parents and look after them. They're actually saving the state money rather than having them in a nursing home.
Yeah, okay. So, Frank, to come back to you on some of those points, and just something that Michael said earlier, if you drive everybody into the towns, like the towns, are they going to be able to support all of this development too?
Yeah, but hold on a second now. It's as plain as a pike staff, to me, at least. And I'm sure to an awful lot of people that there are loads of derelict buildings and vacant buildings and boarded up shops
in
towns and villages throughout this whole, the length and breadth of this country. And that, you know, and that every, in my opinion, every house that's built in rural Ireland is another nail in the coffin of a nearby village or town. And that we really need to look at that. Because, you know, if you look at, for example, the Lawrence collection of photographs from the late 19th century of Irish towns, I mean, it shows vibrant places that were full of people because the people were living above the shops and so on and so forth. But and we've essentially abandoned all of those historic buildings. They're not going to be there in the future unless we make use of them.
And I think people see that with their own eyes as they travel around. But the basic fact is people don't want to live in the old butcher shop in the town. They want to live down the Boreen where they were reared. And how do you force them into the town?
There may be some people like who fall into that category. But I mean, I remember being on a Boreen at the back end of Barna in County Galway on the way to Connemara. And it was going over the mountain, basically, behind Barna from this coast in inland. And I couldn't believe, on a Boreen that had grass growing in the middle of it, that there was a proliferation of one-off houses all along that road. So that what we're doing in Ireland is, it's a uniquely Irish form of suburbanisation. Because an awful lot of the people who are actually living in rural Ireland are commuting into the nearest city or town. And, you know, the vast
Michael
majority...
Michael says they're working from home.
Well, some of them are working from home, but, I mean, how long is that going to last? We just don't know.
The vast majority
of all of the houses that are granted planning permission in places like Mayo and Galway are one-off houses in the countryside.
So listen, just on another point, Michael's saying that they save the state money because they pay for their own connections, they have their water tanks, their septic tanks, and they own the land.
You know, even delivering post to sprawling.
Well, I think
the postman,
if there's a house down the road from you, the postman has gone to it 40 years ago. It's hardly costing more for him to pull into your house. Like, let's get real about this. We're talking about apples and oranges here. The problem is, and we have it every day as politicians, people cannot get places even to rent. There are, and you've rightly pointed out, places closed up in towns, old pubs, old shops, different things, and living above it. I'm all for that. But we're talking about two different things. The problem is, first of all, Frank, that in most of the small towns in Ireland, if you put in for planning permission to do something, the sewage treatment plant isn't up to spec. So straight away, gone. You cannot get planning. That's one problem. Second of all, if people are sitting on property, you cannot go in and start knocking their house or doing it up unless you buy it. Do you understand me?
But these local authorities have powers of compulsory purchase.
Yeah, well, they don't use it too often.
Well, they should use it. But obviously they should use it.
But let's get clear on this. There are people, and ironically enough, without even the people that need to build in rural Ireland or are building in rural Ireland, there is enough of people in every town that are looking for rented accommodation or to buy accommodation that would cater and build up those towns. Small towns in our area, thankfully, have built up. We are looking at them. But in some areas where you have a problem with the sewage, where they have to add on more units to the sewage treatment plant, it's a no-go area.
So you're saying you need
both. And that's a huge problem.
You're saying you need the towns rejuvenated and you need the rural
but what we need, yes, I agree 100%. But what we need to do first, we're in a housing catastrophe at the moment. We have got to build houses, whether they're in the countryside or in the cities or in the towns. That's the first thing we've got to do. And after that, the clauses are there at the moment. You have to have an economic need, be it a farmer or whatever. In my opinion, there are small little businesses. If you look at the Denmark model, they have small little businesses beside their houses, which is very workable. I think that we are very sustainable in rural Ireland, especially with the broadband, especially with the infrastructure.
Could I just make the point? It's not just me saying this. I mean, the Department of Housing, etc., appointed an expert group to carry out a high-level review of the National Planning Framework revision to recommend, to feed into the whole process. And it also highlighted the inherent unsustainability of scattered, uncoordinated patterns of new houses in the countryside, and I'm quoting directly from them, and called for a new national strategic objective to direct new rural housing towards rural towns and villages. And the group acknowledged that this would present political difficulties, and indeed its recommendation for a new approach has not been adopted because the draft revision of the NPF simply reiterates the same loose regime there in 2018.
You can see the problem. No, you can't build the house on that site you have with road frontage. You've got to go into the town where you have no connections really other than popping in for your milk and your bread and live in there. You know why that's politically difficult to say.
Well, I don't see why. I mean, what is wrong with living in towns? I mean, people do it all over Europe. You know, there isn't another country that I can think of anywhere in Europe that has such uncoordinated, scattered rural housing all over the place and everywhere.
Let's give some credit to rural communities. First of all, rural communities have put creches in. I see a local creche near me that has 85 children that they're catering for, 7 in the morning and 7 at the night.
In the town, though.
In the
middle of nowhere.
It's in a one-horse town, to put it simple, what we call it in rural Ireland. In a place that is a church, a school, and a shop and a pub.
But that's the town, right?
Well, whatever you want to call it. A village, we call it. But it is 85 children. The community has got together and we have put in our walking tracks. We have put in all the facilities for those people in that area of a 6 or 8 kilometre area that they have all the facilities they need.
Wouldn't it be much more comfortable to live near all of those facilities than living out in the middle of nowhere and having to drive in?
What's living in the middle of nowhere? Other than that, outside that clear,
can I just
it
make
is
this
farmers
point?
Living in the area and like you're not
can
a You're
can
not
just,
a, you're not
just
a
make
great,
this point?
You're not a great now, work if you think that you'll calf a cow or lamb a yo if you're living within the town or the large city.
A lot of it is to do with farmers having the right to sell off half-acre sites on the road frontages of their property. That is what's being protected in this debate.
No, it's not. What I am very clear about, Frank, is there are certain guidelines down. You have to come from the area or you have to have a social need, an economic or social need. And that's very strict. In the counties I deal with.
All right, listen, we have to leave it there, but thank you both, Frank McDonald and Michael Fitzmaurice.